Today, it is really interesting that we've gotten Ai Li and the World Health Organization representative, Dr. Schwablander, here in our studio. So,
Yeah,
Ai
everything can happen. Look at the American election. That's
Oh, yes, and we've
Oh,
got.
let's
We've
stay healthy.
Yeah, let's stay healthy. Yeah, mental health is right. I didn't sleep all night. Oh, I'm
Oh,
upset.
okay. Well, there you go. Yes, I think these days you can just never predict what might happen. Yes,
Crazy.
Britain leaves the EU, and now Trump is president, and
Oof.
it's a brand new day, and
And it
it's.
is very important to stay healthy in this world,
Yes.
right?
Yes, and
Health is
that's
more
what
important
will
now.
keep us strong with whatever turbulence, unprecedented or unexpected
True.
events that will happen
Yeah, what is the
in life.
question? I'm sorry.
Yes, the question was just asking your personal view on health and what brought you into this discussion.
Yeah, okay. I just mentioned that. Well, because I was like associated with WHO by the other incident. But I'm also thinking about new point. Now we're just mentioning this idea of health for all and all for health. I think it is very important that if you have the concept of live a healthy life, you can actually affect the people around you, right? So I went to the gym, and then my friend around me just started going to the gym. Like it's like a competition. They first maybe do it just out of, like pure envy, jealousy. But later they found the joy of going to the gym, and then they just started changing their lifestyle. So I think that if one people's mindset is changed, the influence is infinite. So do you think so?
Yeah, I think I really want to put emphasis on that point. It's
Yeah.
the role that we play ourselves, the things that we do to ourselves actually has an impact on others. And I want
Yeah.
to give you also one example is that probably one of the most important things that I have done in my job here in Beijing. Very often we talk about big plans, the health reform, and we need more money. But maybe the most important thing I've done, I was invited to a very important meeting at the Great Hall of the People, which I really love to go. And it was about environment and it was about healthy cities. And
Oh.
I decided I'm not going to go there by car, I go there on my bicycle.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I was able to go there, but I wasn't allowed to actually, by the way, to take my bicycle into the parking lot because only cars are allowed to drive in. So I had to park far away and walk into the Great Hall of the City.
Yeah.
But I spoke about that in that meeting. And a former Minister of Health, Chen Zhu, was actually
Oh.
presiding the meeting with all the ministers sitting there discussing health. And I told him, listen, guys, I think that is what we have to do. And it turns out it was the first ever official delegation to go to an official meeting on a bicycle.
That's
And people
great.
still talk about that today. It has changed their mind
Yes.
because I did something that actually people then made people think. And I think that very often is what
Right.
leadership is about and
Yes.
health is about. Let's give an example. Let's do the things ourselves and affect others by doing
Right,
that.
that's the awesome
Yes,
thing.
and I think everybody can take that initiative into our own hands.
Right.
And just bear in mind that one small change you make yourself could have an impact on.
You'll definitely have impact on others. It's for sure because nowadays we go play and we go to the hot pot and we eat all day, right? But how about we have a party and then bicycle around the city, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's one way of going about it. And I just
Yeah.
don't feel I am, I have enough, as much positive energy as Ai Li brings into the
Yeah.
studio. And I do enjoy that. And a few of our listeners here and, are saying that Ai Li, you're always filled with positive energy.
No,
Okay.
no.
Okay. So you've got your days
I have
too.
my days. I have my downsides. I feel upset, but every time I feel upset, I seriously, I went to the gym. I tell my students to do that because, well, yeah, you feel really desperate, and then maybe you feel sad, but you go to the gym and then you jog and you exercise. You force yourself to feel happy. I think you just there's some sort of chemical inside your body. I think professor can tell that has a name. Should be
Pheromone?
shenxiangxianxu is pheromone,
Yeah,
right?
no,
adrenaline.
But there's a mix of hormones that actually get, stronger
Get you
when you do exercise.
and
That's
get you
right.
happy, right?
But see, the thing is, you're absolutely right. I think most people actually have exactly the same experience. When they get themselves to do some physical activity, even
Yes.
in darker moments, they feel
Right.
much better. But I think it's also important to learn from that.
Right.
And for example, make the effort of walking to the office. So you start the day with that, and it does help you. And walking back home rather than taking the car or the taxi, because it does help you, not by doing, you don't need to go to the gym as a special effort, by the little things, you know, taking the staircase rather than the elevator.
Right.
You can do little things that not only give you the physical activity, but also help you with your mental health.
Right.
Yes. Oh, and mental health as well. And that's an important issue too, that it's not only your physical, your body that you need to take care of, but also your mind, the physical side, the psychological side of things. And also today, people in China seem to be busier than ever with long working hours and exhausting schedules. So we've got listeners asking, how can we people muster the time and energy to pursue this kind of healthy living? And also, we talked about eating. Mm. Healthy eating seems to be pretty time consuming and sometimes expensive too. So how do we try to make these small changes in our options? How does that happen?
This is a real challenge, and I'm not a good model in working short hours. And you know, preparing for this conference, I'm in the office very often until 10, 11 at night. But the thing is that even during that period, we can do it one way or the other way. So I always stand up and walk to my colleagues rather than picking a phone or sending an email. I make the special effort of standing up during the day, and I work at the high table or even at the window bench. You don't even need to have special furniture and do a little work there, do reading. I walk to have a lunch. Yeah. There's little things that you can do every day. And I go on my bicycle to the office and home and to meetings.
Right.
So don't only calculate the hours that you specifically spend. It's very often the time in between that makes a difference.
And I think that people are just using not having enough time as an excuse. Let me ask you, like, how many hours do we have in a day?
How many hours?
Yeah, a day.
A day, well, 24.
It's easy. How about a week then?
The week?
Yeah. Go ahead.
And I'm so terrible at math. No. You caught me right here on the spot. You embarrassed me.
It's not about the math. I remember it. It's, in a week, there is 168 hours.
Yes.
And in a year, it is 8,760 hours. I'm a kind of expert on this thing. So every time people say, well, I don't have time to go to the gym for like 6 hours a week, I say, come on, man. There's 168 hours in a week. There must be 6 hours. So I always tell my students and my colleagues, the problem is that you never ever actually record your time, and you don't know where all those time you know you spend it. So I have a method of recording the times. Every week I look at that and say, wow, I spend 6 hours just scrolling on my phone, checking my WeChat and my Weibo. I can use those 6 hours in the gym, and having no time is no excuses. I think that.
Right? And I think it's actually, you know, you see me wear this little activity tracker, which actually you can get in China very cheap. And these are actually not bad methods, because they remind you to actually take physical activity just by walking, you know, from one chair to another.
Yes.
Right? And make a special effort off that. Mm-hmm. I think there's many, many things that you can do during the day.
Right.
Be a little bit more deliberate. It's a choice you take very often, isn't it?
Mm. Yes, it's a choice you take. And that's also very relevant, as I just learned today that the campaign slogan for the 9th Global Conference on Health that is being held by the World Health Organization this year is actually, we choose health. So I think, you know, being very active about making your own decision in making change happen is difficult, but that's what you can do. And I think we sort of need to keep that in mind. And this reminds me of earlier this year, I think in October, that the National Health and Family Planning Commission actually promoted this idea of every day, everybody should give ourselves 5 minutes to do what? That is to stare into the blank, fadai, and not doing anything. And at the time, of course, it got a lot of buzz. And I wonder, Dr. Schwartlander, what do you think is this valuable advice to people? Why is this happening?
I think it's actually a fascinating discussion. I thought about this. The reaction that we got, especially from farmers, for example, on the fields, that you guys in the cities must be completely out of your mind. You know, I have to do work and I'm enjoying, and actually, I like to look at my fields and enjoy my life rather than staring into nothing. But the reason why this is actually a very good thing is that in our cities, in the life that we have, it's so fast-paced, so many things happening. You get on the road and there's cars. You have to be careful that they don't get run over.
Right.
I mean, there's every day, every minute of the day, you have to pay attention to something.
Yeah.
Just taking a step back, taking yourself out of this frenzy that is around you, in your office, on the street, and staring in the sky does actually put you in a different mood. And the different mood allows you to think about, for example, what do I have for lunch that is healthy? What do I do this evening that makes me happy? These little things that can really have an impact on your life. So I think it's a good idea.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't physically mean that you have to stare in the sky. You can also do something else. You look at a picture, you do something special, but take the time off, reflect, and it will have a big impact.
Yeah, give your brain a rest. I think the
That's
problem
great, yeah.
for the young people, especially the young people, is that we're obsessed with our cell phone. Like, I just check out this report. It said that, like, for a teenager or, like, folks around 20 or 30, you check their phone 67 times a day. 67. I think it's, like, really a little bit exaggerated, but actually, I did one survey on myself. I check how many times I check my cell phones. Actually, 74 times a day.
Wow.
And I bet you check more. Don't look at me like that. Don't judge. No judge. And I bet the people who's listening to the show check more the cell phone. Like, really, we can't think about that. Every time your cell phone is out of battery, you are like, oh my God, I have to charge it.
The life is finished.
Yeah, life is finished. Everybody needs me. I need electricity. And then finally, your phone is charged. No one contact you. And then you feel like, you know, it's very, very tense. So I think this 5 minutes doing nothing, staring in the sky, it's just perfect. Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting and innovative proposal from the government. As, yes, Eileen, you do paint that vivid picture for most people that your smartphone these days is probably your closest companion.
Yes.
You're probably closer to your smartphone than to your spouse for some people, and that sounds really sad. And Eileen, the reason why I gave you that special look.
Yeah.
Because
I don't have a spouse.
Oh, well, join the club.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, because I am a cave person.
Oh, yeah.
I do not like to stay on the grid at all.
Mm.
And I find it hugely challenging in today's society to do so. That my ideal life is after I'm, clogged out from work, and then I can just switch my phone off. But increasingly, I realize that your friends, and more importantly, your coworkers, your boss, everyone is expecting you to stay in contact 24 hours around the clock.
Mm.
And I do wonder, I mean, this kind of lifestyle, how can... It's just making things so much more difficult to try to stay healthy and on the point that I want to stick with my healthy option.
That is a problem. That I think we should discuss that on the show. Like, we have to set a time that no work. I mean, seriously, I have that on my phone, like on my WeChat. I said I will not accept any call from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. every day. So whatever. If it is really urgent, just call me. But don't send me emails. I'm not going to reply it. Don't send me anything. That's it. I think if you made the rule, people accept it.
Well, I think that is a good rule.
Right.
And also with Dr. Schwartlander, you are a very busy man. How do you think that will be plausible?
Yeah, I must admit that I actually try to be a good role model as a boss. And I thought about, how do I do this, not sending my colleagues messages, because I know that increases the stress, because the boss names pop up and, oh my God, I have to do something.
Yeah.
But there's no real easy solution. So I try to be disciplined, and, you know, over the weekends, I don't send these messages. I collect them a little bit and send them later. There's little things that we can do. But also, I think it's incredibly important what you said is we need to be disciplined ourselves, and we also need to do things that naturally, you know, if you force yourself under stress, I don't know, I don't touch the phone, and, you know, my hands itch to reach it out, that could even be more stressful, right?
Right.
So, but if you, for example, go for a run,
yes,
you go for a walk with your friend and talk, you naturally don't use the phone. So you will notice that these things that you can do that make you actually happy and at the same time get you off the phone, and it's much more healthy.
Right? Yes, well, that's one way to deal with this addiction that so many of our modern-day citizens have. And what's quite interesting today, as we look at what the World Health Organization has on its agenda, there's also the concept of healthy cities. Mm. I can't totally understand what a healthy human being is about, but how does that idea translate into a city? So could you please explain to us what do you mean by this message of a healthy city?
See, most of us live actually in a city, and the environment in that we live has a massive impact on our health in many ways. You know, can we walk on the road safely? Has a big impact every single day the moment I leave my house. The air I breathe, the environment I sit in the office, the schools our children go to, every aspect of daily life, every hour has a link to health. So the concept of healthy city is not, you know, this is one thing that you have to do and you get the stamp. The concept is every day for the city leaders, for the citizens, think about what I can do to make my environment more healthy so that my life, personal life, will be more healthy. That can be more environmentally friendly buildings, the better air that we breathe inside, stop smoking, better food, all of these things are healthy cities.
Very interesting. And can you please give me a good example of one city that's actually utilized this concept of a healthy city?
I mean, there's many cities that have done certain aspects of that and do more and more. But one city that comes to mind is Copenhagen. Mm. It's a capital city of Denmark, where for a long, long, long time, the city leaders have made a very special effort together with the citizens to build, for example, bike paths through the whole city. So bikes have at least the same rights as the cars and the same space as the cars. So people are, you know, there's an incentive for taking the bicycle. They have already very early on started to have buildings built in an environmentally friendly way, which is not only the physical structure, which is important, but also build communities where in every community you have the little shops, you have your coffee shop, you have your little convenience store, you have a supermarket, you have a restaurant, which is extremely important. So you actually get out of the door and you can walk to a place. You don't need a big car. So the whole structure, infrastructure of a city will have an impact on the health of your life.
That is great. But also I'd like to find out, how does Beijing, how can we turn more into something like what Dr. Schwartlander, you described? What are the biggest challenges or struggles you see that a city like Beijing, a metropolitan city, would have to make, you know, in a transition of such?
Let me start with one thing that happened last year. Beijing passed an excellent smoke-free law, so that all indoor public spaces are smoke-free. What a great thing the city has done for the health of the people. It has changed overnight, you know, the health of virtually everybody, and everybody can talk to that. The other things that I think everybody, you look at Weibo, Twitter, WeChat, everybody, the moment you get on the road, you get threatened by cars. So we need to really transform the traffic. We need new concepts for traffic and transport in the city to make the city more livable, more healthy.
Yes.
There's many other things, and Beijing has already started on that. You know, we can build footpaths that are attractive to walk. And I, in my neighborhood, you know, there's a park where they put this little red floor type in there with lines. This is 100 meters, this is 500 meters, which encourages people to actually walk. So there's many things that have started to be implemented, but not everywhere in the city, and that's where we have to continue.
Yes, certainly. I think with cities, the municipal government needs to take up this the helm and try to steer us towards some changes. And here, I think what we've just described is a challenge that many Chinese cities are facing right now. That is, I feel often that the way the cities are being built, and I think we are in an advantageous position that we get the choice to build these cities. As construction in China, it goes in a rather unique way. I think it's a fast pace, and often construction is knocked down after a few years and then new is built. What do you think are the really important points that companies and government, and maybe to some extent civilians, need to have in mind to build sustainable development for our cities in the long term and start to look at the long term?
Clearly, a very important and visible thing is we need more green spaces in cities. And you're absolutely right. I mean, in China, with this massive construction going on every day, we have the opportunity to plan the places in a way, the cities in a way, that we build in those green spaces from the beginning. But also, we can be much more creative in how we build roads and paths to commute. So there could be like a freeway for bicycles so that the bicycles have to stop at every intersection and wait until every car has disappeared, but that they can actually go over a bridge or something like that. And there's examples of that in the world. And China could be such a great leader in picking up on some of these concepts and would make a huge difference.
I just want to add one point there. So since our doctor is from Germany, right? I'm a big football fan, right? Soccer fan in Germany, like number one, like, yeah. And then here in China, we're so frustrated by our national male football teams, like, and it's so bad. But the problem is that around the city, there's no way, no playground to play football. I just checked out the report. I remember Iceland did really well in this year's Euro Cup, right? And yes. Then the people in Iceland, like, I think like 7.6 people, like the ratio is that each 7.6 people have a football field. But here in China, like 100 or 200 people have one football field. I want to play football. There's no way to go. So this is a problem. You want to build a healthy city? Build more playgrounds so people can play. Correct. And yeah, and then and maybe one day China will finally win the champion of World Cup. I cannot say
it. Will happen. It will happen. Yes, I agree.
It will happen. Maybe 70 years.
I agree.
Or maybe sooner. We never know about these things. If real change does happen, yeah, often speed will occur in an unprecedented or unexpected way, so to speak. And also, I think what's really interesting here is that we've talked about, you know, planning the city, building the city, and how do we make our lives a little bit more healthier in the midst of that. But what are the biggest health challenges that China is facing right now? Could you please list us a few of these problems, and do we see any hope in making a difference, a change in that regard?
Yeah, the health of the people, the ill health of the people has fundamentally changed over the last generation. It used to be all the infectious diseases. Today, it's what we call the non-communicable diseases, the chronic diseases that really kill people, make people sick. Now, there's four things that cause the biggest burden of this non-communicable chronic diseases. That's smoking, that's too much drinking of alcohol, that's unhealthy diets, and it's a lack of physical activities. Now, these are four things which we can actually very easily change ourselves every day if we're a little bit more aware. Eat more healthy, have more exercise, stop smoking, and drink less alcohol. And you will be able to take care of a lot of the problems that you may have in the future.
Oh, that's very useful tips that's been given to us.
It should be, right. I don't smoke.
Very good.
Yeah. I don't see the point. And then I'm so happy that three of my friends like quit smoking after I relentlessly talking to them, and they just say, all right, you shut up, and I won't smoke anymore. And I think it's a good, and I think is that if people go to the gym more often and they see some people with like really nice body, and they will feel more health conscious. And then I went to the beach last year of Miami, and I see those people, oh my god, those guys are so ripped, and those girls are, yeah, anyway, I want to have body like that, so I go to the gym more often.
Yes, that's one way of looking at it. Yeah. And yes, and I think with the smoking ban that happened in China, it's quite interesting that this time it seems to be a bit more effective than the previous smoking bans. And the World Health Organization has also played a huge role in promoting that idea. And that brings us to the end of today's roundtable. Well, thank you so much that Ai Li and Dr. Schwatländer, you came to our studio today. It's wonderful talking to you.